You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Coming to us from the Wairarapa, we have Wattie Watson from the New Zealand Professional Firefighters Union coming on to have a chat about Fire Emergency New Zealand's response to their industrial action, which, needless to say, has not been super productive. Good morning to you, Wattie. How are we?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you very much. Hello to all your listeners in Ngāti Poti.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. It's very, very good to have you on. Before we start talking about the sort of scuffle with Fire Emergency New Zealand, I want to ask you, is it an unfortunate time to be called Wattie?
With all the job layoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, fortunately, at this time, I've got no relationship whatsoever with the Wattie family. But I certainly feel for all of them, and it's also concerning that that is a loss of a great source of frozen, locally produced vegetables as well. So I think that will probably also hit our back pocket at the supermarket once more.
Oh, completely. I think I read somewhere that it's that our farmers grow 36,000 tons of peas for Watties, and I don't know what they're going to do with all those extra peas. It'll go into somewhere, hopefully, and won't just go to waste, but we'll see what happens. Before we start talking about the recent trouble between the Professional Firefighters Union and FENS, I want to ask, what's the historical relationship between these two organisations? Has there always been, you know, a little bit of tension?
So FENS was established in 2017, and prior to that it was the New Zealand Fire Service. And there have been periods of what I would call war throughout both. In the 90s, some of your listeners might remember, they sacked all the career firefighters, and there was huge litigation. They tried to deregister the union.
Wow.
And that era is never far from the thoughts of our members, and they are, we've got people who are still career firefighters from that era who tell me the situation is actually worse this time around. Those were pretty overt, aggressive tactics. And this time they are attacking emergency response. They are reducing the number of career firefighters we have now. We are very concerned about the impact on emergency response, and obviously we want to settle a collective agreement that protects some of the safe systems of work that directly impact on who turns up with what truck and what gear at your time of need.
I had a quick look at your website and the FENS website. And according to your website, the FENS are spending $100K on a campaign to try and get your union to shut down industrial action. How do you find that number?
So that's some official information requests.
Nice.
So it's somewhere between 60 and 100,000 every strike it was at the time. Now, at that time, we were undertaking one-hour stoppages only on a Friday. That has increased to a Monday and a Friday, so I don't know if that's actually increased at all. It seems a ridiculous amount of money, and also a lot of that, these kind of posters as well as radio, etc., about firefighters being on strike for that hour and sending messages to the public about that. FENS employees a large group and a comms team. They've got employees that could do that, right? They've got you know, as we all have social media access, etc. That 100,000, which at the time the official information request was made, was already up to more than 800,000. You know, millions can go towards trucks. It can also go to a settlement of a collective employment agreement.
In response to the action that FENS has that you've, I guess, threatened with increased industrial action, they threatened to deduct 10% of wages for each New Zealand Professional Firefighter Union member. What's the legality around that? How is that legal?
So what this government, the coalition government, back in mid last year, introduced legislation, and pass legislation, and everything's pretty much done under urgency these days, where employers now have the right, for no matter what action you're taking, even if it's not the full stoppages, not downing tools and walking away from your job for a period of time, they can deduct wages. And they can either deduct a nominal 10%, or they can calculate what they think the impact of that industrial action is on the working lives in, of those people. So, for example, we represent firefighters. We've got a huge density of firefighters, and that's between 1,700 and 1,800 firefighters, depends on the count on the day. Mm-hmm. We've also represent the 111 emergency dispatchers, so when you ring 111 for fire. We also represent the volunteer support officers, people that train firefighters, and people in risk reduction. Now, the bulk or the largest group of the firefighters, and the firefighters are generally the lowest paid in Fens, the largest group of firefighters are on 80,000 per annum for a 42-hour a week. They need overtime to survive, quite frankly, in this day and age. Mm. They would not be able to survive ongoing losing 10% of their income. And because there's no end in sight to this dispute at the moment. So we withdrew the action that they said they would deduct 10% for, but the one-hour strikes are still continuing. So ironically, the attack was on that other action, which were industrial bans on tasks and duties behind the scenes that wouldn't actually affect emergency response. They say they are going to deduct from the 23rd of March the 1 hour for the 1 hour stoppages that are currently being held on Mondays and Fridays.
Mm. Do you ever get the motivation to just completely pull out 100% industrial action, just don't respond to anything and just send everyone home for weeks on end?
Well, absolutely. It is, and we've got members that raise that with us regularly as well. At the moment, we're trying to balance the interests of the public with the campaign in trying to achieve reasonable and fair outcomes that produce a sustainable emergency service. But we've got the right to shake it up a little bit in how we conduct those strikes, but we haven't sought the approval of our members for a 24-hour strike or something longer than that at this point. We know the public are hugely supportive of our action and the issues that we're raising about the attacks on action emergency response. But, you can never say never, but we would hope we don't ever have to resort to something like that.
Yeah. Last Wednesday, Fens asked that your union drops industrial action before returning to bargaining. But isn't the whole point of bargaining as a worker, isn't the whole point of striking as a worker, because that's the only bargaining power you have, that's your labour?
Absolutely. Fens is all employers. They have significant power in the employment relationship. It's an inherent imbalance of power, and it's particularly evident during negotiations. Interestingly enough, when they wrote to us about that, we had approached them about a way of getting back to bargaining with a third person that had been instrumental in a settlement that we got in 2022, and they refused that. They said they wanted to go back to facilitated bargaining, but we would have to produce an offer and withdraw all industrial action and put off any future action in the interim. And then out of the blue, They knew our position on that was a no way. Then out of the blue, we got an email earlier this week from the Employment Relations Authority that conducts a facilitated bargaining, asking if we'd be available on the 30th and 31st. Mm-hmm. And that was just the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
So given Fens had told us earlier in March that they were working up a new offer, we thought, oh, well, Fens maybe is bitten the bullet and they're actually trying to get back to the bargaining table. Facilitation wasn't our ideal scenario, but we'll take that if it means we get back to bargaining and hear their offer. Then they wrote to us, so we notified our members that we'd accepted that date and we hope to be in bargaining to hear their offer later this month. And then Fenn's wrote to us saying, well, just to make sure there's no understanding, you're the ones that are producing the offer, which was just madness. We didn't sort the facilitation. Then they further dug deep yesterday by writing again and saying, we're not tuning up if you haven't removed all industrial action and you're going to produce the offer.
Yeah.
So
nuts. Nuts turnaround.
There's no end in sight currently.
Yeah, that's major whiplash. No end in sight at all. When, like, how long do you think this could drag on for? Like, months?
Well, it already has dragged on for months.
Well, I mean, like, say it's like 6 months to 8 months?
Well, who knows, right? This what needs to happen is political pressure. This happened in 2022 where Fenn's just refused to move or address some of the key issues until the government got involved. We only had to strike twice, two one-hour strikes, to get that movement politically.
Mm.
This coalition government's a totally different kettle of fish.
Yeah.
But I think there are a number of politicians across the political rainbow who are very concerned not only about the industrial action, the strikes and the lack of progress and bargaining, but about Fenn's inability to be clear and accurate about the state of emergency service at the moment.
Mm.
And I think we will see pressure. I think it's already started to come to bear, but I think that needs to increase. We need to get proper inquiry into Fenn's. The union is calling for a proper inquiry to ensure the capability and capacity of Fenn's now, but also in the future, of the needs of the communities. And I think that is going to be, you know, that has to occur before Fenn's will change its mind.
Mm. Well, it's an election year, so you can pull some levers and twist some knobs. Hopefully you can get better living conditions, because y'all risk your lives every day. And we couldn't live in a society without firefighters, frankly. Thank you so much for coming on the program, Waddy. I really appreciate your time. Do you have any final thoughts, words or opinions to leave our listeners with?
I just want to thank your listeners for the incredible support that we have been shown by the public. And the Dunedin local union representatives, we hear from them a few times a week. They tell me how amazing the support has been down in Otiputi, and they really appreciate it. We know it's frustrating and it's getting pretty tiresome for everybody, but we have to hold the line.
Mm-hmm.
We just ask for your support, and we will be coming out very soon with some actions that the public can do in order to support us and getting an inquiry up and running.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on that. Thank you so much, Waddy. Hope you have a great day. Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you. Appreciate it.
Cheers. That was Waddy Watson, the Secretary, National Secretary for the New Zealand Professional Firefighters Union, coming on to have a chat about their recent scuffles with Fire Emergency New Zealand. Really good chat there. We're going to play the track Angel Olsen. We have Through the Fires, sorry, by Angel Olsen. We have this track and then a few more locked up. We also have Cass coming on at 10:40 to do some news headlines. So stay tuned for that. Here is Angel Olsen with Through the Fires. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.